Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so pleased to have you gather with us, no matter where you are, in this fifth week of online worship. We are Calvary Presbyterian Church of Enfield, Connecticut, and if you would like more information about us, you can go to our website at www.calvaryenfield.org. There you can find information about who we are and what we do and opportunities that there are to be to partake of our ministry. There is also a link there if you would like to make a donation online or be added to our mailing list. But we are pleased to have people literally from all over the country and actually different nations of the world who have been sharing with us in this time of worship. One of the things that we always do in our worship service is to offer the opportunity for prayer. Obviously, we can't do that right now, but if you have a concern for prayer, I would encourage you to send that to prayer@calvaryenfield.org. And you can do one of two things. One, you can simply share your concern, and someone will get that, and they will pray for that. Second, though, if you desire to have someone to pray with you over the phone, include your phone number with the email and a good time where someone could get back to you, and someone from the prayer team will call you and pray with you over the phone. I would like to remind members of the Calvary family of our virtual coffee hour. We would invite you to grab a cup of coffee and sign on by Zoom about 10 minutes after the initial broadcast of the service, which will be somewhere between 11 and 11:15 on Sunday, April 26th. And to do that, you follow the link that is found in the email that was sent out yesterday afternoon. We have several opportunities for you to join us grow together and worship together as God's people during the week on Tuesday and Thursday mornings from 9 o'clock to 9:45 a.m. We are having morning prayer and worship. On Wednesday evening, we have our Wednesday evening prayer meeting from 7 to 8 p.m. And then beginning this Sunday and continuing on, we have adult Sunday school. And that is on Sunday mornings from 9 to 9:45. And Sandy Wesowitz is continuing to teach through the Gospel of Matthew. And to get on any of these Zoom meetings, you will find a link on the email that is sent out to you. We send one out on Saturday and one out on Monday telling what's going on during the week. So as we prepare to come before the Lord in worship, let us join together in prayer. O God, you are the joy of this day, and you are the hope of every day to come. And we come into your presence to exalt you and to glorify you and to worship your holy name. Though we are scattered, we pray that you would unite us in your spirit and make us one. By your spirit, we ask that you would move in our lives, that our words, our actions, and even the secret thoughts of our hearts may honor you as we worship in this hour. O God of great power, you displayed sacrificial love for all in your Son, Jesus Christ. And may our worship in this time be focused on that one who died and rose for all, Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us join in our worship of God in our call to worship. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. Let all the earth worship God's holy name. Let us join together, invite you to join together wherever you are and lift your voices to God in song as we praise the Lord, the Almighty. Almighty and gracious God, we thank you and we praise you that you are indeed great and greatly to be praised. Your goodness and your love and your power are beyond our comprehension. We praise you for all who you are and all that you've done. We praise you for creating this world in all its beauty and for redeeming the world through Christ our Lord. We bless you for sending the gift of your Spirit to encourage and instruct and sustain us. And Lord, we pray that as we continue to worship you this morning, that your Spirit would be at work within us now to inspire us in our praise, to challenge us with your truth, to equip us for your service in the world, because you are a great and gracious God, and before you, we stand in awe.
Beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description.
as we continue to worship, I would invite you, wherever you are right now, let's just to close your eyes, quiet your heart, and ponder the greatness of our awesome God. Under this creative power that made everything that there is. Under his sovereign rule over all creation. As we take time before our awesome God, we cannot help but be struck by the greatness and the wonder of who God is and what God has done. His mighty acts, his gracious promises, his amazing grace and mercy. A grace and mercy which is particularly precious to us, because in the presence of a holy and righteous God, we recognize how far short we fall. So I would invite you to move it from a time of pondering God's greatness to pondering your own need for his mercy. And as the Lord puts on your heart those things which you need to confess, just in the quiet of your heart, or if you want to speak it out, particularly if there's no one else around, and lift it up to him. I invite you to now join in our corporate prayer of confession. God of grace and glory, the wideness of your mercy extends beyond all we can imagine. In kindness, you have drawn us to yourself, claiming us who were far from you as your own beloved people. Yet we often refuse mercy to those who offend us, to those who differ from us, to those we deem unlovely or unworthy. Forgive our rush to judgment. By your Spirit, tenderize our hearts, so that we would show mercy to others, even as we have received mercy through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. And we thank you for the good news. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And may the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sin, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Our next song is a new one for Calvary folks, but it is a wonderful affirmation of the depth of the mercy of God.
Praise the Lord, His mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
God's people said, amen. As we prepare now to hear God's word to us in scripture and in sermon, let us join together in prayer. Oh God, we come before you and we thank you and we praise you that your mercy is amazing and everlasting. That your goodness is beyond our comprehending, that your love is forever. We thank you that in your grace and in your mercy, you do not leave us alone to figure it out for ourselves, but you have revealed yourself to us in your word written. And so, Lord, we pray now that as your word is read and proclaimed, that you would come by the power of your Holy Spirit, that your word would go forth in truth and in power, and that we might hear what you have to say to us this day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from the letter to the Hebrews. I'll be reading a number of passages from that as I go through the sermon, but the text is focused on chapter 10, 19 through 25, and then verses 32 to 36. Listen to God's word. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we have professed, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting with one another, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Remember those earlier days after you had received light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who had been so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And the text is, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. One of the interesting things about ministry is the opportunity of living in different locations over the years. And in that has been the number of interesting and sometimes unusual people I've had the privilege to know. The other day, I was thinking of a fellow from the first church I served whose name was Bob Thibault. Bob was just an ordinary guy. He was retired. Like so many folks in the congregation, he had worked in one of the local auto supply plants. He and his wife had raised a family. Bob seemed pretty much like anyone else. But Bob had a dream. And he decided that what he really wanted to do was to sail around the world. Now, lots of people have dreams like this, but the thing about Bob is that he was determined to do it. So Bob set about the task of building a boat that was capable of the kind of trip that he had in mind. Mind you, he started from scratch. He didn't know much of anything about building boats or even about sailing. But he read, and he learned, and he built. When I met Bob, he had been at it for about 12 years. And in a shed that he had constructed behind his garage was a 42-foot sailboat that was about 3/4 finished. If I remember correctly, he was just in the process of putting the teak deck on the boat. Now, he had literally, in that location, started at the keel and built up from there. Now, he faced many problems and challenges over the years, but he kept at it. And Bob was determined that his boat would be finished, and he was looking forward to the day when he would hire a big crane to lift the boat up over the garage and over his house, take it to the lake, and learn to sail. And then he would set off. Now, to be honest, I think there were people around church who thought he was a little bit nuts. Maybe that's what people thought about Noah. I don't know. But Bob had a goal and was determined to persevere until he reached it. Bob's determination to keep on, his desire to persevere, was admirable. And it has something to teach us as God's people, especially perhaps in the days in which we find ourselves. Now let's be honest with each other. Most of us are getting really, really tired of this. I mean, when the high point of the day is that you've been able to get a slot for pickup of groceries at Walmart, or found out that you had caught, you know, four mice in a trap, when that's the height of your day, you know, you're getting tired of things. And the truth of the matter is that most of us would really like to be able just to go back to life as we had known it before about 6 weeks ago. But most everything that we hear is that now, especially, is the time to persevere, the time to keep ourselves safe, the time to do what we need to do. We need to keep on, because it is perseverance that will likely bring a good result. Well, this is true not only in this period of our life, but it is also true in our life in Christ as a whole. When we look at Scripture, it is clear that perseverance is one of the marks of God's people and one of the marks of the church, and that we are called to persevere. I mean, there are folks who come to Jesus in a sudden rush of emotion, who find God at a point of great need in their lives, who join the church with a great deal of enthusiasm, but then they just kind of fade away. That is not what God intends. Instead, we are called to what Eugene Peterson described in a book of this title, as a long obedience in the same direction. We are called to a lifelong journey of faith, which is the essence of a life of discipleship. And indeed, Calvary, in our Flourishing Disciples initiative, has defined a disciple this way. A disciple is a person who actively engages with Jesus in a lifelong journey of loving, following, and serving God in every area of life. A lifelong journey of loving, following, and serving God in every area of life. Now, this kind of life is going to be a life of ups and downs. It's going to be a life with joys and trials. It'll be a life with times of great exhilaration. It will also have times which seem, you know, somewhat blah, in which we feel like we're just going through the motions. But we are called to persevere. We are called to continue. In a long-term commitment to Jesus and to Jesus' church, we are called to persevere. And the same is true for the church as a whole. We are not to be a people who, you know, shoots after this direction 1 month and then over there another. We are called to persevere, to be faithful to the call that God has placed upon our hearts. We are called individually and collectively to keep on in faithfulness to the Lord. The call to persevere is a major theme of the book of Hebrews. We're not really sure who wrote this letter. That's going to be one of the great things when we get to heaven, is find out, you know, who penned this great work. We are not even certain of the specific community to which it was addressed, but it is very clear that perseverance and faithfulness are the two key issues that the author sought to address. Apparently, the life of the church had started out well. People loved Jesus and worshiped him faithfully. They had demonstrated love for their fellow believers. They had successfully faced adversity, opposition, and even persecution, and had stood with one another as they had gone through that. But now there are hints within the letter that they were in danger of falling back. Perhaps the fervor and excitement of their initial faith was growing cool. It could be that the opposition they were facing was getting a little too intense. But whatever the reason, some in the church were facing the temptation of giving up, of going back to the old life, of returning to the safety of the past. And so the writer of this letter recognized the threat, and much of the letter seeks to counter this tendency with several major themes. You know, the first of which is the glorious superiority of Jesus Christ. And in effect, what the writer is saying, you have Jesus and all this in him. How can you go back? Secondly, he talks about the faithfulness of God who has called them and saved them to keep them in the way of salvation. And then in chapter 11, in that great chapter on faith, he gives example after example of the faithful in the past as an encouragement for them to persevere and keep on. You see, he understood that the Christian life, the life of the church, is meant to be a continuing journey of faith and faithfulness demonstrated in very real and very practical ways. We are called to keep on, to be steady in our love for God, in our love for one another, in our love and in our outreach for our communities and worlds. These are not merely ideals to which we are called to give lip service, but they are a way of life that we are to live day by day by day. You know, in all honesty, however, that's not easy to do. As we live a life of faith, as we seek to persevere, we will face obstacles. Now, all of us know what it means to be discouraged in our faith or to face opposition or just to look at ourselves and at the lack of progress and just saying, what's the use? You know, sometimes we are tempted into indifference. We grow weary. You know, sometimes the distractions of the world become more and more alluring to us than the gospel of Jesus. Sometimes we find ourselves coming to a place where we're just plain comfortable and we're not sure that we want to push on anymore. Sometimes we get satisfied with immaturity, that we get to a point in our faith that we just, you know, it's good and we want to stay here and we don't want really to be challenged, but let's just kind of settle in and wait this out. And I dare say that probably all of us have faced times when it would have seemed easier to give up. But we are called to persevere in faithfulness to the one who is faithful to us. And the good news about that is that we are not alone. You see, the picture of the Christian life is not that of a lone pilgrim on a journey, persevering, pressing on in their own strength. But God has promised us the resources to help us to do this. What resources do we have in this journey? Well, there are many within the book of Hebrews, but I would like to highlight four things. The first thing that we see is that we have faith and a vision. Chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and he's referring back to all those great examples of faith in chapter 11, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance, let us keep on with the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What resources do we have for this journey? The first is that we have a vision of those who have run the race before us. If you read through chapter 11, you know, none of those stories of faith were a bed of roses. All of them faced hard decisions. All of them faced opposition. Some of them faced persecution, but they had a vision of something better, something greater that impelled them and compelled them on the way.
And in the same way, that vision is ours. And what the writer calls us to do, to fix our eyes on Jesus, a vision of Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who endured the cross
and sat down at the right hand of God. As we grow weary in this life of faith, as we come to places where we think it will be easier to give up, we have a vision of Jesus who persevered, who went all the way, who gave himself on the cross for us, and who will strengthen us to do the same. The second thing that we have to resource us on the journey and to help us persevere is the encouragement of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Once again, from chapter 10. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. One of the great resources that God has given to us is to persevere. In his book, Renewal as a Way of Life, Richard Lovelace talks about the means of grace. And I'm not quoting this exactly, but he talks about one of the means of grace that God has given us is the fellowship of sisters and brothers in the Lord. And in one comment, he says, you know, the Bible will not come magically down from the shelf to encourage a pastor or to encourage a person who is too discouraged to pray or to continue, but a sister and brother in the Lord will come alongside and do that time and time again. And all of us can think of times when we were down, in which we wanted to give up, when the encouragement of a friend in Christ gave us the ability to keep going. A good word, you know, encouraged us that what we were doing, you know, had some benefit. And I believe, you know, even in this time that we're facing right now, one of the things that we kind of see as we talk to people within the church, you know, one of the things that are helping us to endure the time of relative isolation is that people, you know, are calling with one another. They're checking in with one another. You know, the times that we are sharing together over Zoom, though, you know, they're not a substitute for being face-to-face, you know, in person. They are an encouragement because we see and we know that our brothers and sisters are there praying for us. The only way I'm getting through this is I know there are a whole lot of people within the life of this congregation who are holding me up in prayer, and that is so important. And that leads into the third resource that we have, and that is the resource of prayer from chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who is tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It reminds me of the familiar hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." As we go even through this time of you know, self-quarantine or social distancing, you know, when we go through those times when we feel that we are alone, there is nothing in our lives that we cannot bring to the Lord in prayer. We can bring to him thanksgiving for our joys, but we can also cry out to him in our struggles and our trials. we can bring to him the small concerns of our lives, and we can bring to him, you know, what we all talk about as the big stuff. We can approach the throne of grace with confidence and know that there we will find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need so that we might be faithful and we might persevere. Fourth thing that we have is confidence in God's faithfulness. We see in chapter 13, verses 5 through 8, God has said, I will never leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say in confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And then down to verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, over these last few weeks, we have been looking at and expounding the hope and the promises that we have in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The promise that in Jesus Christ, we have a hope in a future. The promise that in Jesus Christ, we are never alone. The promise that in Jesus Christ, all God's purposes will be fulfilled. And as we walk this life of faith, and even through as we go through this time of challenge right now, we can especially hold close to our hearts those dear truths, because they are true. And we can place our trust, even when it seems that life is just blah, even when it seems that we are facing trials that we aren't sure how we're going to overcome, that God is with us, and God is in it, and God will never let us go. God has called us individually and together to a journey of faith and has given us his precious promises as resources to go on. This is not to say that, you know, this journey is going to be one triumphant march to glory. There will be times of struggle. We will have times of trial. We will have times when we will need to be carried along by the prayers and the love of our fellow believers and by the wonderful grace of God. But the good news is that all those are there. All those are true. And as we face the difficulties that we're all facing right now in this time of pandemic, but even beyond that, as we seek to walk in faith throughout our lives, it gives us the ability to keep on and persevere. And that is our hope. One of the things that Melissa and I like to do is we like to watch old movies. It seems like most of the movies we watch are, you know, pre-1970. And one of the ones we saw not too long ago was The African Queen. And it's the story of Charlie and Rose, played by Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn, who are in German East Africa during the First World War. She is a missionary. He's kind of a tramp, but he owns the boat. And when her mission station is burned out and her brother is killed, Charlie and Rose begin a journey on the African Queen down the river, where she has the vision to sink a German gunboat in what I believe is called Lake Louisa. And so they venture down the river and they face many problems along the way. They are shot at by a fort that's perched along the river. They go through huge rapids. You know, they find themselves in a huge mass of flies that almost drives them crazy. They wade through reeds in which Charlie is covered with his greatest fear, leeches. And they finally come to the place where they can go no farther. They're stuck in the mud and in the reeds, And in spite of their desire to persevere, in spite of the sense that this is what they wanted to do, they lay down, presumably to die. But before that, Rose utters a prayer. And during the night, you begin to see that great gathering of clouds and the pouring down of rain and the waters rise and they, as a surprise to themselves, wake from their slumber the next day. And they're out on the lake. They're out on the lake. They have persevered. And then they go on to accomplish their mission. And in the same way, you might say, you know, our lives are like going down that river. There are going to be times of smooth sailing, times of enjoyment. There's also going to be times of rapids. You know, there's going to be times when we, you know, are attacked by things that would do us harm. You know, there might be even times where, you know, spiritual leeches would want to fasten themselves to us. And there may be times when we just, like Rose and Charlie, get to say, we're at the end of our line, and they give up. But it is in those times where God sends his showers of grace and mercy. God provides what we do not have so that we can persevere in our life of faith and in our journey to discipleship. And may that be true of all of us. Now, I know some of you are thinking, what happened to Bob? And I wish I could give a great answer that, you know, he finished the boat and he sailed around the world. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know. We left that congregation 38 years ago and really have not had much contact since. Bob, if he were alive, it would be at least in his mid-90s by now. But I would like to think that the crane did show up one day, that it put his boat on a trailer, took it out to Lake Huron, and then after a time of training, he began on his journey. But I can guarantee this. I can guarantee that what didn't happen was he just said, well, this is enough. I give up. May we persevere in this life, not only in this time of trial, but in this journey of faith on which God has put us, so that we might be people who are able to overcome, who are able to triumph, not because of our own strength, but because of what God has given us and promised us in Jesus Christ. Amen.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. Strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side, the Savior, he will stay. I labor and rejoicing, for in my need his fate I dread. I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, thy sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home, and day by day I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Let us pray together. Oh God, we thank you for the glorious hope that we have in the gospel. We thank you that as we walk this road, this path of faith, with perseverance and by your strength, that we will come to a glorious day when our race is complete. And on that day, we will look back in all the joys and all the trials, in the smooth paths and in the rocky places, in the times of gladness and the times of sorrow, and we will know that through it all, it has been Christ in us that has brought us to glory. And for that, we give you thanks, and in that reality, we find hope. And I pray, Lord, that even as we go through this time of trial, of wading through this pandemic, that we would know your presence and your strength in us and working through us. Father, we do lift up our world, Lord, as it is in the throes of this crisis. We pray, O God, that you would have mercy, that you would have mercy upon those who suffer, that you would have mercy and wisdom for those who lead, that you would provide mercy and protection to those who serve in the midst of this, that you would show mercy and grace to those who simply have to endure. We pray, O God, that through this time that you would sustain us, and that in this time you would teach us more and more what it means to rely not on ourselves, but on the reality of Jesus Christ in us and working through us. And so, Lord, we give ourselves to you. We pray that during this week you would keep us attentive to your voice, faithful in prayer for the needs of those around us, and willing to serve however you give us opportunity. We pray all these things with confidence, not because of our own strength or wisdom or discernment, but because of everything you provide. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, who taught his people to pray together, saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." Our final hymn is the great Welsh hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah," which is a hymn about perseverance. If you look closely at the words of the hymn, you will see images that go back to the exodus of the people of Israel and how they depended and how they trusted in God to be the one who brought them through. May we close this time of worship with this great hymn of trust and praise. So glad that you joined us in worship, and we pray that the Lord truly ministered to you in this time. And now remember who you are. You are a people loved by God, chosen in Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit to persevere in a life of faith and discipleship. remember who you are and go forth in this journey with confidence and with faith that it's not about you, but about Christ in you. And empowered by this knowledge of Christ's presence and by the presence of the Holy Spirit, persevere in faith and hope and love, proclaiming his reality to the world around us. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.